The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donkor. In the headlines, Chamber of Industry and Commerce advocates a law to ensure patronage of homemade products. Kumasi Polytechnic deny owing ECG any bill. Public asked to patronize poppies as Ghana joins the rest of the world to mark centenary of Veterans Day. Chairman of AU in Burkina Faso to hold talks on transitional process, and Zimbabwe Vice President Joyce Mujuru resigns.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The first Vice President of the Ghana Chamber of Industry and Commerce, Dr. Prosper Adabla, has expressed the Chamber's support for the Ministry of Trade and Industry agenda to promote made in Ghana goods at a fair scheduled for next month. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Dr. Adabla said the issue surrounding the refurbishment of Parliament could have been avoided if government had insisted and encouraged ministries and agencies to patronize made in Ghana goods. He called for legislation that binds the citizens to patronize homemade products. He spoke to George Asikri.
The whole country, everybody in Ghana, based on where we are in the economic standing, the ills and ailments imports have brought to this country, everybody in Ghana is crying out to the general public, to everybody, to themselves, that we have to use made in Ghana products. We have to kill imports coming into Ghana and patronize, be proud. So we as a chamber are beating the drums in support of what the ministry is doing, the public and private sector advocating
that is made in Ghana. One may ask, are we serious when we talk about patronizing made in Ghana goods, particularly coming from the heels of what happened in Parliament, where the president stood and exhibited his made in Ghana shoes and other things? The very house has gone to China to purchase furniture and other gadgets.
What can we do to prevent what has just happened? I think that government should pass legislation authorizing government agencies, departments, etc., to patronize made in Ghana products. And having said that, the government should then look for some type of funding for the private sector to set up the factories that can produce the good, you know, the made in Ghana products to the standards so Ghanaians can buy. You know, government should encourage that. Government should help the private sector set up the necessary infrastructure to produce the made in Ghana products. If we produce the things in Ghana to standard, everybody will patronize them.
That was the first Vice President of the Ghana Chamber of Industry and Commerce, Dr. Prosper Adabla. Deputy Trade and Industry Minister Murtala Mohammed said government is more than committed to its homegrown policies. He said he supports the call for legislation to back government's homegrown policies, as suggested by the Vice President of the Chamber of Industry and Commerce, Dr. Prosper Adabla.
It is not just organizing the fair, but it has to do with taking very important measures to ensure that at the end of the day, the purpose for which the fair is organized is achieved. His Excellency the President demonstrated to the people of this country in Parliament that he was not just, you know, giving speeches and encouraging people to wear made in Ghana. He indeed demonstrated that he was walking the talk. And I can tell you, ever since His Excellency the President addressed members of Parliament in the State of the Nation address, I have seen him almost all the time wear made in Ghana shoes, and to a very large extent, the clothing he wears also made in Ghana. It is significant for us to also understand that it is not just about clothing alone. It has to do with about food. It has to do with medicine. It has to do with all facets of our socio-economic lives as a people. And I think that that is extremely significant. It is made in Ghana goods. And I think
before you take leave of us, you heard Dr. Prosper Adabla of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry proposing that there should be some kind of legislation. Do you support that?
I would support it 101%. I would support it absolutely. I remember, in fact, we had a meeting at the Ministry of Trade. And my proposal was that, look, we should not just limit it to the Ministry of Trade. We should declare all public servants and civil servants, or those who work in the public sector and then the civil sector, everybody should wear made in Ghana every single day.
That was Deputy Trade and Industry Minister Murtala Mohammed. Authorities of the Kumasi Polytechnic have expressed surprise at the action of the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, is connecting the school's main electricity power supply. According to the authorities, the school does not owe ECG any outstanding bill on technical grounds. This is because government has over the years been taking up electricity bills of all tertiary educational institutions in the country, including the Kumasi Polytechnic. We bring you the details.
According to the Assistant Registrar in charge of public relations of the Kumasi Polytechnic, Robert Jewu, the only responsibility of the school is to submit its monthly electricity bills to the Council for Tertiary Education, from where the bills are taken up by government. It therefore took the school's community by surprise when the Ashanti Regional Management of the ECG carried out its earlier threat to cut off power supply to the institution. Speaking to Radio Ghana in Kumasi, Mr. Jewu wondered why, among all the public tertiary schools in the country, the ECG decided to deny the Kumasi Polytechnic access to the national grid. He said the company has built the polytechnic about 300,000 Ghana cedis for the power consumed since January this year. The PRO admitted that even though the school has consumed electricity for the period, what is unclear is whether or not government has now decided not to foot the utility bills of tertiary institutions, and students would have to bear the cost now. Thus, he noted, however, is not advisable since it could unnecessarily hike school fees. He was certain that the current situation is as a result of an ineffective communication among the Ministry of Finance, the Council for Tertiary Education, and the ECG regarding how payment of the electricity bills should be settled. The PRO said an agreement has been reached between the management of the polytechnic and the regional management of the ECG about how to restore power supply to the school for normal work to continue.
A news desk report. In active service, they go out in defense of country and to preserve world peace. Some of them do not make it back to their families as they fall in battle. On November 11 each year, their fellow men and women in active service and those who had retired gather at cenotaphs in various countries to honor the great sacrifices of people in World War I and other conflicts globally. Ghana and the world community will go silent for 2 minutes later in the day to observe this year's Remembrance Day to mark the end of the hostilities of world wars. Here's Rosemary Gazy with a write-up on Remembrance Day, also called Poppy Day.
In honor of their compatriots who died in the line of duty, Remembrance Day, also referred to as Poppy Day or Armistice Day, is one global event observed to highlight the sacrifices of members of the armed forces whose desire was to preserve world peace. Various literature on world history indicates that for the first time in 4 years of continuous war, precisely on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the guns fell silent on the Western Front. Another significance of this day was the signing of the armistice between Germany on one hand and the alliance of Britain, France and Russia on the other. Records have it that the day was specifically dedicated by King George V of the United Kingdom on November 7, 1919 as a day of remembrance for members of the armed forces who were killed during World War I. The first official Armistice Day was subsequently held on the grounds of Buckingham Palace in the morning of November 11, 1919, and this has set the trend for a day of remembrance for decades. The Red Remembrance Poppy, which has become a familiar emblem of Remembrance Day, has been traced to the poem In Flanders Field, which was said to be written by a Canadian military doctor and artillery commander, Major John McCrae. It was in honor of a fellow Canadian artillery officer, Lieutenant Alexis Palmer, who was killed on May 2, 1915. Part of the poem In Flanders Field reads, "We are the dead, short days ago. We lived, saw dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields." As Ghana observes yet another remembrance for her gallant men and women, the part Ghanaians could play is for us to pray for world peace. But until peace is attained, it is only proper to continue to observe the annual Poppy Day with the sounding of the last post. Followed by the period of silence and the sounding of rouse, often mistakenly referred to as reveille. This should give meaning to our forebears' ultimate sacrifice in world wars, the fight for independence, conflict in Ghana, and in peacekeeping operations worldwide. This is Rosemary Gazy in Accra.
As the world observes the centenary of the Veterans Day today, the Minister of Defense, Dr. Benjamin Kumbor, says that day teaches a long history that war does not solve conflicts, but rather dialogue. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, he said the Remembrance Day should not only be observed with sympathy, but with pride, and this should reflect in the purchasing of poppies to support families of the fallen heroes.
In my mind, the poppy also shows the extent to which war never resolves issues of conflict, and that dialogue should be the way to go. Fortunately, in our global reality today, we continue to have many more of these wars. So it's very symbolic, and it's something that also captures in a very picturesque manner the development during the First World War.
But when you look at developments across the globe, we keep marking this day, but some people are arguing that we are equally heading towards another war, maybe a Third World War.
Certainly, I think it was one person who said the Third World War will be fought on three things: commodities, computers, and currency. So to the extent that that war is going to be at the level of cyber technology, one can say we are beginning to see signs of it. But I guess that the experiences of both the First and the Second World War, and even the localized regional conflicts that we have seen, all decent-minded people and people who love peace will see that you have never achieved anything out of a war situation or a violent conflict situation. And that is why when we want to remember our fallen heroes, we don't just remember them only with sympathy. But we try to celebrate their lives and the cause for whom they died, and to say never again will the world go through this type of experience. And I think for me that is significant.
That was the Minister of Defense, Dr. Benjamin Kumbor. The Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection is undergoing strategic restructuring to deepen its mandate of catering for the aged and vulnerable in society for national development. In line with this, a new office known as the National Targeting Office has been established to use a transparent and scientific approach to determine vulnerable persons who need actual social protection. The sector minister, Nana Oyelifa, disclosed this at the inaugural meeting of the National Aging Policy in Accra. Recreation forms part of a child's development physically, psychologically, and emotionally. Recreation centers such as parks, playgrounds, and town halls, among others, are established in communities as avenues to engage the child's leisure time. In Ghana, there are several playgrounds for children and for other social activities, but such places are often not properly maintained. One such facility is the Ifua Sutherland's Children's Park. Jonathan Thompson visited the park and finds out government's plans for the facility.
A visit to the Ifua Sutherland Park revealed that the place is in need of renovation and restructuring in terms of infrastructure and personnel. The grounds, commonly referred to as Children's Park, some years ago was a neatly mowed grounds for fun activities such as picnics, concerts and fairs for children. Currently, the place is used for social activities which are mostly not child-related. Maintenance of the place is another challenge, as many of the playing equipment such as the train and slides, among others, are rusted and not functioning. Personnel employed to keep the place tidy and functional are inadequate. The officer in charge of the park, David Ampidu, laments the state of the park.
You know, there are only four people working here, four groundsmen working here. And then if you see the kind of work, and then if you see the park, they started working since morning. You see parts of it is clear. Most of the logistics that they need to even work are not there. So talking about the train, for instance, there's no more working at the moment. I would say that the train has been there for quite a long, some time now, and can say that for the past 3 or 4 years, it has not been working. We are considering bringing something more child-friendly. That's why you see the train still sitting there. In about 4 or 5 years back, chopped off a child's leg, and then they had to take the government to court. If you go to the other side, where we have play equipment, like the seesaw and all that, that place too is in a very dilapidated state. In the sense that with time, those equipment they bought for the park was not the tropical type, whereby you can say that it's exposed to the rain and then, you know, external atmosphere, and could not, it could be safe. It's not tropical, it's just normal metal. And because it's exposed to the rain and everything, you will see that within a matter of a time, It was being repaired time, day in, day out. But you could see that within, when it's raining season and then starts raining, within a short time, it will rust.
Despite these challenges, government is taking steps to renovate the park and other children's.
Our UT Bank to support us to reconstruct in terms of new recreational equipment for children and then also a refurbishing. It involves quite a lot in terms of resources. So it's a chicken and egg thing. So what we do is that the park, because of its strategic location, is used for certain activities. And then the income we get from that, we use to refurbish, we use to keep it in a good shape. From next year, we'll start a program of getting children to actually come and play. Dansoman is also, we're looking for investors to develop Dansoman. Then we'll proceed. Tamale is also one that we're looking at for a private partnership. We've had meetings and we're doing something about it under our Department of Children.
That was the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nanoye Lisa, ending that report by Jonathan Thompson. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: Chamber of Industry and Commerce advocates a law to ensure patronage of homemade products. Kumasi Polytechnic deny owing ECG any bill. Public asked to patronize poppies as Ghana joins the rest of the world to mark centenary of Veterans Day. Chairman of AU in Burkina Faso to hold talks on transitional process. And Zimbabwe Vice President Joyce Mujuru resigns. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news at 6 continues. The Eastern Regional Health Directorate, in collaboration with the Volta River Authority and the Ghana Education Service, is to conduct a 3-day deworming exercise for children aged 5 to 14 years in 15 districts and municipalities in the region. The program is being sponsored by the United States Agency for International Development. Among the beneficiary districts are Etiwa, Isujamai, Denchembo, Kwaibibrim, Kuru West Municipality, and the Farm Plains North and South. The regional coordinator of the neglected tropical diseases, Christian Fiadeo, who said this in an interview with Radio Ghana in Kofodia, said the drugs will be administered to 330,000 children. He said about 2,180 teachers will be trained to handle the exercise, with health personnel playing a supervisory role. The 3-day deworming exercise will begin on Friday, November 14. The Ghana Health Service says it has provided experts at all entry points in the country to check and prevent any outbreak of the Ebola virus. The chairman of the subcommittee on Ebola case management of the service, Dr. Samuel Kaba, disclosed this at the opening of a 3-day workshop on Ebola case management in Tamale. The training is being organized by the Ghana Health Service with the aim of improving the skills of personnel at entry points in the northern region to detect and handle cases. The workshop brought together the police, medical personnel, customs service, and other specialists at entry points in the region. The Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. James Sakwadia, said Ghana has done a lot in preventing the outbreak of the disease and called on Ghanaians to take precaution in case of an outbreak. He added that the 3-day workshop in the northern region will be extended to other regions to educate border personnel on how to handle Ebola cases. Send West Africa, in collaboration with the Trades Union Congress and other civil society organizations, has initiated a campaign to solicit donations in cash and kind to assist Ebola-affected persons in the epicenters of the Ebola epidemic. The campaign is to share in the fight against Ebola and strengthen the bonds among West African nations. Announcing the initiative at a stakeholders meeting in Accra, the chief executive officer of Send West Africa, Seyafa Kamara, said the campaign is beginning in Ghana. Given its current position as chair of ECOWAS, he said even though education on how to stem the tide of the disease is ongoing, infected and affected persons are in dire need of basic items to survive, hence the response by Send West Africa. Liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, is a major source of burns and injuries in the country. explosions from LPG accounts for about 30% of admissions and 44% of deaths from burns. The director, Reconstructive Plastic Surgery and Burn Center at the Kwalebu Teaching Hospital, Dr. Opokuwari Ampuma, said this at the launch of the National Petroleum Authority's Consumer Week in Accra. Dr. Ampuma noted that more than 80% of burns are preventable, so there is the need for concerted effort to intensify education on gas explosion, as most of the LPG-related accidents are as a result of ignorance, misinformation, and carelessness. In foreign news, the head of the African Union has arrived in Burkina Faso for urgent talks on the country's political transition following the ousting of veteran President Blaise Compaoré. Mauritania's president and current AU chairman, Mohamed Ould Abdelaziz, who held talks with military leader Lieutenant Colonel Isaac Zida, said he has come to participate in a resolution to the crisis. President Abdelaziz was later due to meet opposition politicians, leaders of civil society and loyalists of Compaoré. President Abdelaziz told reporters the African Union has not come to sanction Burkina Faso, adding that the settlement will come from the Burkinabe people. Zimbabwe's Vice President Joyce Mujuru is reported to have tendered her resignation to President Robert Mugabe. Some media outlets earlier reported that Mrs. Mujuru had come under fire recently for allegedly plotting to oust President Mugabe. She also came under fire from Zimbabwe's First Lady Grace Mugabe, who told her to resign and accused her of being a leader of a faction within ZANU-PF. A Ugandan minister says the government is planning to introduce a new anti-gay law that will withstand any legal challenge. The minister, who did not want to be named, said the new law would not explicitly refer to homosexuality, but will rely on the penal code, which prescribes a life sentence for unnatural acts. Activists say the plan is more draconian than anti-gay legislation annulled by the court in August. The U.S. and other donors cut funding to Uganda in protest against the law. Uganda is a deeply conservative society with homosexual acts already illegal. Analysts believe new legislation against gay people will increase the government's popularity. South Korean judges are set to rule on whether the captain of a ferry which sank in April, killing more than 300 people, should be sentenced to death. Lee Jun-seok is among 15 crew on trial over the loss of the Sewol, one of South Korea's worst maritime disasters. Most of the dead were school children on an excursion. Nationwide grief at the disaster was followed by outrage, with revelations of mismanagement by ferry operators and lapses in the emergency response. Hours before the verdict, the South Korean government called off the search for bodies in the sunken vessel. Chinese leader Xi Jinping has urged Asia-Pacific nations to accelerate economic integrations to spur global growth on day two of the APEC summit. He spoke as leaders from the 21-nation Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Bloc met for a round table. Discussion is expected to center on trade agreements and a regional anti-corruption initiative. Yesterday, the Japanese and Chinese leaders held talks for the first time on the sidelines of the summit. Ties between the two Asian giants have been extremely tense due to a territorial row over disputed islands in the East China Sea. U.S. Deputy National Secretary Security Advisor Ben Rhodes said the U.S. welcomes the meeting as it was an opportunity to lower the simmering tensions between the two countries. Australian Special Forces are finally moving into Iraq more than a month after arriving in the Middle East. Prime Minister Tony Abbott said the 200 troops will be helping Iraqi forces in the fight against Islamic State. A prolonged legal and administrative process in Iraq meant the troops had been waiting for clearance in the United Arab Emirates since September. Fighter jets from the Royal Australian Air Force joined the U.S.-led coalition bombing IS targets in Iraq in October. Angry protesters rallying against the alleged killing of 43 Mexican students have clashed with riot police in Acapulco as authorities downplayed chances of ever identifying their remains. Thousands of people rallied in front of the resort's international airport, with parents of the students leading a demonstration along with comrades from the 43 Young Men's Teacher Training College. A group of marched protesters clashed with riot police who tried to block their way to the airport, injuring 11 officers. Now to end the news, another look at our headlines. The Ghana Chamber of Industry and Commerce is advocating a law to boost patronage of homemade products. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the first vice president of the chamber, Dr. Prosper Dabla, said the issue of parliament not employing local companies for its refurbishment could have been avoided if government had insisted that ministries and agencies patronize made in Ghana goods. Authorities of the Kumasi Polytechnic have denied owing the Electricity Company of Ghana, which disconnected the school's main power supply. According to them, government has been paying the bills of all tertiary schools in the country. And the head of the African Union has arrived in Burkina Faso for urgent talks on the country's political transition following the resignation of President Blaise Compaoré, Mauritania's president and AU chairman Mohamed Ould Abdelaziz. In a discussion with military leader Lieutenant Colonel Isaac Zida, said his presence in Ouagadougou was to help resolve the crisis. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.